we've been talking, why have I been talking about in Prairie? Death.
That's right. Death, first of all, Psalm, if you'll turn to Psalm 116. Psalm 116 and verse 15. This is gives an insight of God about the matter of death. Psalm 116, verse 15, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. When a believer dies, it is precious to God. Now, not in that they had to die or they had to be taken away from family and friends here, but God sent Jesus, his son, to die, and precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. In other words, Jesus died so these people could become God's people, could become God's saints, and therefore it's precious to him because he's going to have them in heaven with him. Proverbs chapter 14 gives yet another insight of God regarding the matter of death. Proverbs chapter 14, and I'm looking at verse 32. Proverbs 14, verse 32. The wicked is driven away in his wickedness, but the righteous hath hope in his death. There is hope. The wicked, they do end up doing nothing but reaping more of their wickedness. And we know from other scriptures, that means perishing in hell forever and ever. But in contrast to that, the righteous, we have hope in death. Death is not the end. Death is the beginning. And that's the hope of the believer. And it's precious in the sight of the Lord. You have heard me say that you need now to prepare your attitude, your heart, and your spirit for how you will handle death when it comes either to you or to a loved one. Don't be caught unprepared. We all have somebody that we know or love, be it family or close friend, that no one on this earth lives forever. People die. Now, you have heard me say before that we need to be prepared for that. So when it happens, it might be a father, a mother, a brother, a sister. If you have a close relationship with a cousin, for example, whatever the relationship, there's somebody that's special to you and they will pass away. You might be thinking, well, maybe I'll go first. Well, that's true, and I have something to say for you later. But be prepared. Prepare your heart and your mind. Some people are petrified to even think about death, let alone talk about it. But we ought not be. Now, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 18 tells us where we are going to get comfort. Now, you're familiar with this passage of Scripture. You've heard it preached on. If you've gone to the funeral of a believer, you have heard this spoken of. 1 Thessalonians 4:13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, Paul's word for death, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. We will sorrow, but not without hope. We have the hope of the Lord, just like we read in Proverbs. The righteous have hope in death. And so this passage in 1 Thessalonians 4 ends with these words, "Wherefore comfort one another with these words." The words that Paul just spoke regarding death. Comfort one another with these. Now listen, when somebody dies, friends, neighbors, even family members will sometimes take in a dish of food for them to eat with gatherings, okay? There's times where you bake a pie and you take it over. You send a sympathy card, okay? Or if depending on how you knew them, you might jot a note in that card that you're praying for them. There's things that we can do like this that can be a comfort, but they don't compare to the comfort of these words, okay? That's what really will sustain you in the hard part. After the pie's been eaten, after the card's been, you know, stored, if you save cards, some people save cards, you know, and others, they'll have them sitting on a table or something, you know, for a few weeks, and then what happens with them? Well, then they go in the recycle bin, okay? That's nicer sounding than saying trash. So that's what happens, you see. And after those things pass, these words will still be there and comfort you. Now, there are some aspects you cannot learn ahead or know. Like some other things in life, experience needs to be the teacher. I thought about that. Well, now, what's another example of that? Well, how about you, dear lady, who have had a baby? You can take all the classes you want. You can have all the friends tell you about it. But there's nothing like the experience, is there, huh? Indeed not. And so you can read about death. You can read the scriptures. You can pray. You can talk about it. You can get Christian literature about death and dying. But until you experience it, you do not understand. Now, let me explain a basic regarding this matter of death. Pastor touched on this here in one of his recent messages, and that is a basic of death is that it's separation. See, when we talk about death, we're talking about separation of the soul, the spirit, from the body, okay? Life goes on, the soul, the spirit, with God, if they're a believer, the body goes in the grave. And of course, when we talk about death, when it comes to God and the relationship with God, well, then it's separation from God. So a basic is of death has to do with separation separation from this life, separation from these people that we know. There's two sides about this matter of death. One is the heaven side, and the other is the earth side. There are different views. There's two different people when it comes to this matter of death. The one who died, okay, and the ones who continue to live. Two people. Two views regarding the matter of death. God's view about death, and of course, our human or man's view about death. Let me give a few other thoughts regarding the matter of death, and that is death and fear. No fear about where a Christian will be or where a Christian will spend his eternity in heaven or with the Lord, okay? Well, there's no fear about death because we're going to be with the Lord. But there can be some anxiety about dying. Because the dying experience, both for the one dying and for the ones living as they stand by, there can be some anxiety about that. because the death experience is its own experience. There isn't anything else that is, you know, comparable to it. There can be some anxiety because it's a one-time experience. I mean, you only do this once. Think about it, you know. You're going to do it. You're going to say, well, I'll have a trial run. I mean, you only die once. And so there's some anxiety, can be some anxiety about dieting, about dying. About dieting, too, there can be. But it's not a fear of the future. But you know what? I'm not fearful of dying. I'm not fearful of the future. But you know what? I've never died before. And therefore, there's a little bit of anxiety. What's it going to be like? Well, now if it happens when I'm laying at home in bed, that'll be peaceful. If it happens when I'm walking down, coming down a set of stairs, and I misstep, and bump, 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 and then my head gets bumped, and I die. I'd really rather do it laying in bed, okay? Or I'm driving my car, and I'm not paying the attention I ought to pay, okay? And I remember one time I was driving, coming home from Buffalo. I'm trying to remember where the stretch was, maybe in through not Machias, but Ishaway. All I remember is hearing this tick, 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 and the right side of my car was hitting, I think, every one of them rivets in the guardrail. Okay, I've been there. Yeah, I mean, you know, soon as I heard it, I pulled away, but I, you know, I was that close to, you know, and so, you know, I'd really rather die laying in bed. I'd really rather not, though I'm glad for hospitals, I'd really rather not be in a hospital hooked up to all kinds of machines that aren't working. Remember, I'm there dying. And I'd really rather be at home laying in bed. So there's some anxiety about not eternity, where you'll be with the Lord, about the dying experience. And I understand that. And so maybe somebody's thinking to themselves, I have no anxiety. Well, wonderful. I'm serious. Wonderful. Good for you. But even that response highlights another very important point. People are different. And as different as people are, so differently are their responses to death, to dying. As I said, some people are just petrified at thinking, let alone talking about it. Some people don't mind talking about it. And everything, of course, in between. So people handle and react to this subject differently. So let's give each other a break. All right? If you're one who is on one end of the spectrum where you don't even like to think about it, let alone talk of it, or you're on the other side where you'll talk, what do we say, at the drop of a hat about it, just remember, there's other people in between, and just, you know, don't be so judgmental. You know, what's the matter? I thought they're saved. Well, if they're saved, what's their problem, you know? And I guess to that sort of thing, I'd say, get real, will you? There's all different kinds of things in life. People's needs vary. This in itself is a big thing for many people. What do you say? Whether it's a relative or a friend, a co-worker, what do you say when somebody dies? What should I do? Some people won't go to viewings or funeral service because They don't know what to say. And they feel very awkward. I would remind that just your presence says a lot. If you are a Christian, you are a person who prays, when you would go through a greeting line, or if there's no greeting line as such, but you would talk to the family, remember this. You actually must do it. I want you to know I'll be praying for you. That means so much to people. That's always appropriate and in order. Now, don't just say it as a nifty little Christian thing to say. You actually have to do that. Okay? And in doing it, you're not necessarily saying you're going to pray forever for them. You're just saying, I want you to know I'm going to be praying for you. And then for a week or two. There's times where we'll be in a situation, and I learned this from Mrs. Hain, and what she'll say in some situations is, when the Lord brings you to mind, I'll pray for you. And that way you're not making the kind of promise that you're not likely to be able to keep, but you are letting them know that you will pray for them when the Lord brings them to mind. And so much depends on you and how you handle tragedy itself or crisis of whatever sort. Much depends on your relationship to the grieving persons who are left behind. Remember, Proverbs 17:17 says, a brother is born for adversity. Galatians 6:15 talks about bearing one another's burdens. And so it's always appropriate to pray for and to let people know that you will pray for them. Now, lastly, let me talk about briefly the results of death. And this isn't anything but what you already are aware of. Probably one of the biggest things, and depending again on the relationship, is loneliness. The uncertainty of the future changes. It's different, okay? And again, depending on what the relationship, the people have, like a husband and wife kind of, you know, situation, or a parent and a child, when a parent dies and the child remains, then, of course, things change. It was pointed out to me a long time ago that the first year, when you lose a loved one, the first year is always hardest. That doesn't mean it gets easy. It's just that the first birthday, the first wedding anniversary, the first July 4th celebration, the first Christmas time, you see, the first of everything, it's hard. And there's no way to make it easy. Don't try to make it easy. Just be supportive. And therein, if you have someone that you're good friends with, they've lost a loved one, that might be the time to send a thinking of you card. You say, I can't afford all them cards. Go to the Dollar Tree. You can get them for a dollar, a Hallmark card. Yeah, really. There's some of them that they have that are just 50 cents. These are not cheap looking cards. These are, like I say, Hallmark, American Greeting. These are name brand cards. How many of you knew that, by the way? A good number of you did, and there's a number of you that need to know that. Okay, now this is not a commercial. I get nothing from Dollar Tree for that. I'm simply telling you because, you know, you can send a card, okay? I know when I was pastor, one of the things that I tried to do was on my coming calendar, I would make a notation, Bill's wife passed away June 3rd. And then the week before, I would send a card letting Bill know I'm aware that Henrietta went to be with Jesus a year ago, and I'm praying for you. And of course, there again, you have to pray. You can't just say that as a nice religious sounding thing. You have to act. But you see, there's ways you can do it. You say, well, I could never remember. No, I couldn't either. That's why I made note on my calendar. Okay, and so that's how you can do that sort of thing. But loneliness, uncertainty, changes, adjustments. Some are wanted and some are unwanted. Some are accepted and some are unacceptable. But there are adjustments that need to be made when someone close to you passes. And you have to make the adjustment. Talk to a friend. Talk to somebody that you can confide in. But you need to make adjustments. Even the circumstances of a loved one's death makes a difference. Were they elderly as compared to being a young person? Was it a tragic, crisis-oriented death, like an automobile accident, versus someone who was sickly with a long-term illness? All of these things factor in. Just be aware of it. The things I've said aren't things that you haven't known. I'm just trying to call your attention to them, realizing that it can make a difference. Now, let me say this and then I'll close. Make death easier on yourself by how you live with the ones that you may see die. Okay? Make life easier on yourself by being in right relationship, so that when that loved one dies, you don't have to live with regrets. A lot of big funerals, not all. Do you hear me now? Not all. But a lot of big funerals are big because of guilt. Okay? Family's got to do something to offset the poor relationship that was going on. Okay, so... I had it put this way to me one time. Give me the flowers while I'm alive.
That's good. Yep.
Now, that doesn't mean you shouldn't send flowers to a funeral. But you want to have somebody that's going to die? You want to have it be easier on you? Be nice to them now.
Yep.
It's a whole lot better than having regrets over how you talked to them and acted with them. Amen. Say amen. You ought to say amen. That's true. Thank you, Stephen. All right. We'll ask you to turn the live streaming off. And then we'll do our prayer request. Thank you for watching on live streaming.